You know, Doug asked me to do this, and so I went and dug out my Bible. My mom gave it to me years ago, and she said it's a magic Bible. It'd do great things for me. What I didn't realize is the magic in it was that it shrinks. And so over time, it's next to impossible to read it. So I'm going to step up to the big boy Bible now. Please stand and join me real quick here. Today's scripture comes from Matthew chapter 19, verses 21 through 35. You'll find on page 975 in your Bible. It's the parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Anybody sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wants to settle his accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay me back what you owe,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all your debts of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to his jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." The word of God for the people of God.
Please be seated. So being that Glenn is our only... Oh, excuse me. Thanks, Roger. Go for it.
How often am I supposed to forgive? I'm not really asking for an answer. I guess just an opportunity to come clean. How often do I forgive the gossiper in my life? How often do I forgive the exaggerator? The outright liar? How often do I forgive the nonstop talker in my life? The interrupter? Or person who sits around and does nothing? How often do I forgive a boss who's demeaning? A coworker who's after my job? How often do I forgive my mother for all she did or didn't do? My father for all he said or didn't say? My brother? My sister? How long is my mental list of hurt feelings? How far back does the account of wrong suffered go? How many people do I mumble to myself about, mentally rehearsing the scene where I tell them off and expose them to the world? How many times do I hear bad news about someone who's hurt me and I'm glad because, after all, they had it coming? Forgive me for all the times I haven't forgiven, for all the times I've only partially forgiven, grudgingly forgiven, or self-righteously forgiven. Help me to forgive others the way you've forgiven me, not for a moment, but for a lifetime. Not seven times, every time.
So, as I was saying, being that that's our only active reservist right at the moment, make sure you go up and tell him today how much you appreciate him and his service. The power of forgiveness. I'm still in doing this series of the most important topics, which I'll continue to do this month and next month, and then we're going to go into this History Channel thing that's coming up on the Bible. We're going to do that all of March during Lent and Easter, and we got some great things coming up that we're going to do. We're probably going to show that series here on Sunday nights, and I'm going to preach from that series throughout March. So it's some exciting things that we've got coming up. Then we're going to do Mark starting in April. It'll take us up to summer, God willing, unless he changes things. It's up to him. The power of forgiveness. You know, I've shared in the past that people come up to me every once in a while and make an appointment. They come in and say, Pastor, my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, and I can't seem to get through to God. I can't sense God. I can't feel God. What's wrong? And when people talk to me like that, the first thing that I say to them is, who do you hate? And let's start with your mom and dad. You know, the fifth commandment is the only one that has a promise with it. That if you'll honor your mother and father, it will go well with you, and you will enjoy your life on the earth. The flip side of that is, if you don't honor them, and you hate them, it will not go well with you, and you will not enjoy your life on the earth. Peter came to Jesus and asked him, okay, so how many times do I have to forgive people that hurt me? How about seven? And he thought he was being pretty liberal, you know? Hey, seven times, that's a lot. That's God's perfect number too, right? That should work. And depending on the translation of what Jesus said, in some places it's 77 times, in other places, and another possible translation is 70 times seven. In other words, Jesus was saying, Peter, there's no limit. Just like this little film clip talked about. There's no limit to how many times you should forgive those who hurt you. And then he launched into this story, as Jesus likes to do, to illustrate his point. And he began his story by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, when Jesus says things like that, we've got to listen closely. He's telling us what heaven is like from the Lord, from the Son of God. It's like a king. God is like a king who has servants. And every once in a while, the king tries to settle accounts with his servants. And in this case, in this story that Jesus told, he brought up a guy who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. Can you imagine what 10,000 bags of gold is worth? Especially today, right? I mean, we're talking billions. I'm sure it's more than even Bill Gates has. Billions. Even in Jesus' day, even in our day. And the king said, okay, time to pay up. And this servant said, well, I don't have it. And the king said, okay, well then, you're going to be sold into slavery. And by the way, not just you, but your family, your wife, your kids, and everything you have is going to be sold to pay this debt. That's the way they did it in the ancient world. You know, we didn't have a lot of bankruptcy then. Okay? Because you went to prison. And so this man got down on his knees and he begged the king, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And I'll pay it back. And so the king looked at him and saw him down there on his knees and he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to forgive the whole thing. 10,000 bags of gold. I'm going to forgive the whole thing. Billions of dollars. Wouldn't you like to have a billions of dollars debt forgiven? Now remember, Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom of God is like. God is that king, and folks, we are the guy that owes billions of dollars. Each and every one of us. And there's nothing that can pay for what we owe God for the sins we've committed in this life except one thing. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can forgive it. And when we get down on our knees and we say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. Because we deserve to spend eternity in hell. Each and every one of us, to pay for that debt. And God says to us, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. All of it. All of it. In 1 John 1:9, we read that if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness, everything. There's nothing in this life that we could do that God can't forgive. Nothing. Well, then this man who'd just been forgiven billions actively goes out, and I've read this passage many times, but just this time, this week, the Lord pointed out to me that he actively went out and sought somebody who owed him. Somebody who had hurt him. Somebody who owed him 100 silver coins. Nothing compared to his 10,000 bags of gold. And began to choke this guy and telling him to pay up now. And this poor servant said, got down on his knees just like the other guy had just done and begged him, said, give me more time and I'll pay you back. But he would have none of it. And so he had him thrown into prison. Well, some of the king's servants who had been in court earlier in the day and had saw this Bill Gates guy get forgiven everything, 10,000 bags of gold, you don't think that news didn't get out in the kingdom? They went and told the king, hey, you remember that guy that was just in here? That Bill Gates guy? Well, we just saw him choking a fellow servant who owed him 100 silver coins and had him thrown into prison. And so the king said, bring him back in here. So they brought him back in and he said, you wicked servant. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant like I had on you? I'm going to take you now and throw you into prison and I'm going to torture you until you pay back everything. Well, that's a death sentence, isn't it? And then Jesus ends with this. Back to Peter and to all his disciples and everybody who was standing there. He said, that's how my Father in heaven is going to treat every one of you unless you forgive your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your boss, your spouse, your kids, your coach, your teachers, your friends, from your heart. From your heart. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that is a very strong statement from Jesus Christ. That's a very strong statement, and one that we all need to pay attention to. Seriously pay attention to it. Because God is the king, we are the servant who owns billions and has been forgiven, and our fellow human beings who have hurt us are the ones who owe us 100 silver coins. When we are unable to receive forgiveness, we experience guilt. And when we experience guilt, we employ all kinds of coping mechanisms. Perfectionism is one of them. Workaholism is another one. Alcoholism is another one. Suicide is one of them. Having a critical spirit towards other people. Being a role-playing. Being a people-pleaser. Those are all coping mechanisms that we use when we sense guilt in our lives. And they don't last very long, and they don't work very well. And sooner or later, they leave us depressed and anxious and empty and even dead. We need to receive forgiveness from God. And all you have to do is go to Him and ask Him for it. And from ourselves. We need to forgive ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew 12:25, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself and don't forgive yourself, you can't begin to love anyone else or forgive anyone else. It begins with God and then with ourselves. Now, if we're unable to give forgiveness to the people who have hurt us, we experience bitterness and resentment. Now, why do we do that? Because we want them to hurt like we do. So we are bitter and resentful and hateful to the people who have hurt us. Because we want them to pay, don't we? We want to get them. We want to hurt them. But who really gets hurt? It's us that hurt ourselves, isn't it? Like the servant in the story, we need to forgive them because God has forgiven us so much. What those people owe us is nothing compared to what we owe God. Now, forgiveness is not saying to somebody who hurt you, hey, forget about it. It's no big thing. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is saying to somebody who's hurt you, I will not be your judge anymore. When we hate people and we're bitter and resentful towards people who have hurt us, we are trying to be God to them. We're trying to say that we know what motivates them and why they do the things that they do. That's not our job in life, folks. Our job in life is to forgive. And Jesus said there's no limit to how often we should do it. every time, all the time, we need to forgive and release them to Jesus and say to them, it's an act of the will. We're not talking about changing feelings here. We're talking about an act of the will. I forgive you. And when you say those words to somebody who's hurt you, it breaks the power of unforgiveness. And in time, even your feelings will change. And you know, when we hate people, we keep them from God because they put up all of their defenses because they know we hate them. When somebody hates you, you know it. You can feel it. And you put up your defenses, and even God can't get through that stuff. But when you forgive, that communicates too. And people can feel that too. It's a spiritual thing. And they'll let their defenses down, and then God can even begin to reach them. So, we need to receive forgiveness from God, from ourselves. We need to give forgiveness to the people who have hurt us, beginning with our parents, whether we know them or don't know them, whether they're alive or dead, whether they were kind or unkind. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads, and let's begin with God. If there's anything that you have not asked God to forgive you for, now is the time to do it, right now. Just say to him, Lord God, forgive me for whatever that is. And receive his forgiveness. Then I want you to get a mental picture of yourself. And I want you to say to yourself, I forgive you. And today, sometime, I want you to look in the mirror and say that to yourself. Sometime today, I forgive you. In fact, do it every time you see yourself in the mirror. I forgive you. And now, if there's anything, any bitterness and hatred that you're holding on to towards your parents this morning, known or unknown, alive or dead, doesn't matter. Just say to them, get a mental picture of them, and say to them, Mom, Dad, I forgive you. I release you to Jesus, and I ask him to bless you. Wherever you are. And then ask the Lord, Lord, is there anybody else that I need to forgive this morning? And just take a few seconds and say those words to whoever the Lord brings to your mind. Right now, the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind those at the top of the list. Holy Spirit, bring them to the top of the list and say, I forgive you to those people. You're not trying to change your feelings. What they did to you was important, but you're not going to be their judge. I forgive you. I release you to Jesus. And I ask him to bless you. And later on this week, spend some time with God. Do that with each and every one you can think of who's hurt you. Lord, now I pray for your people. Wherever there's been bitterness or resentment or guilt, I ask you to fill them up with your Holy Spirit and drive out anything that's not from you and fill them up, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask the band to come and lead us in our closing song this morning.